Our reading this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 21, starting at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." It's the word of God.
Trevor, just going to grab that. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. What a joy it is to meet together this morning in this place with each other. Thank you for your promise to be with us, and thank you for your word. And as we look at your word together, we want to open our hearts. Would you help us to do that, that we might hear from you, living God, this morning? We ask that in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, I was praying and looking at this passage over the last couple of weeks. Hello, back from Hong Kong. Nice to see you. I haven't noticed you there. Just asking the Lord, what do you want to say to us this morning? Father God, what is your message for us this morning? And I've seen our new bishop, the Bishop of Birmingham, heard him speak a few times over the last few weeks. And often when he speaks, he starts with a sentence that just sums it up. I thought, I like that. I'm going to give that a go. So I asked the Lord, I said, how could we do that? How can you give me a sentence that would sum up what you want to say this morning, Lord? And this is the sentence that I came up with as I prayed. Because Jesus died and rose from the dead, when we fall, he is able to help us to get up and to continue walking. Because Jesus died and rose from the dead, when we fall, he is able to help us to get up and to continue walking. I feel that's the message for us today. Please don't switch off for the rest of the sermon. Hopefully, we'll unpack it a little bit. But if you like the headlines, that's the headline. Because we're all going to fall over at some point, aren't we? Has anybody here recently fallen over? No hands up? One hand up. I could ask another question, which might be a bit of a delicate question. Has anybody here recently had a fall? There's a difference, isn't there, between falling over and having a fall. But it feels like, seems like not many people have fallen over here recently. So praise God for that. But if we keep walking, we're going to fall over at some point, aren't we? It's going to happen. We don't mean to fall over. We don't set out to do it. But we do. We end up falling at some point. Now, most of you will know that Nick and I love going up to the Lake District, love getting out into the outdoors and going on walks and wandering around in the lakes. We love to do that. And recently, we were up in the lakes, and it was a bit of a drizzly day. Nobody told me it was going to be drizzly up in the lakes, but turns out sometimes it is. And we were walking along this path, and there was some rocks on the ground that we had to sort of navigate over. The rocks were a bit slippy and a bit steep. And I looked at what I thought would be a good journey over these rocks back onto the path, but I misjudged it. And as I went onto the rocks, I slipped and I fell. And I fell a little bit like you do when you fall in a slow motion kind of falling, where you think, I've got my balance, oh no. And then eventually I landed on the ground in the mud in a bit of a crumpled mess. feeling a bit sorry for myself and feeling a bit sore. I misjudged the way forward. I thought this is a good way to go, but I found I slipped and fell as I walked that way. I wonder if you've ever done that. We don't mean to fall, but if we keep walking, we're going to fall at some point, aren't we? And falling can affect us. It can be hard to pick ourselves up and get going again. It can knock our confidence. There's something in us that says, I don't want to go through that again. I think I'll try and avoid that. I found this quote online from Vince Lombardi, a famous football coach in America, who said, it's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get up that counts. It's not whether you get knocked down, it's whether you get up that counts. And that's the thing with falling, isn't it, I think? Happens to us all at some point. The question is, are we going to be able to get up? Are we going to be able to get up again? The message this morning is that because Jesus died and rose from the dead, when we fall, he is able to help us to get up and to continue walking. In our passage this morning, we see Peter. As Manda said to us, Peter has recently fallen. He's denied Jesus three times just before Jesus' crucifixion. I don't think Peter set out to do that. I think he misjudged what he was capable of, and so he fell. But now, here at the end of John's Gospel, we see Peter back with Jesus. Jesus has died on the cross. Jesus has been risen from the dead. And he's now spending time with his disciples, calling them to come and join him for breakfast on the beach. I wonder how Peter feels as he approaches Jesus on that beach. Surely there must have been a bit of an elephant in the room, or if you like, an elephant on the beach with Peter and Jesus in that moment. Jesus welcomes Peter, though, with the others, and they eat together, they have breakfast together. Time spent with Jesus. It's always time well spent, isn't it? And after some time with Jesus, it's Jesus who points to the elephant in the room, or the elephant on the beach. Jesus drives this forwards with Peter, and he helps Peter to face up to his falling, but only after they've shared this time together. Time with Jesus, so good to do. He's so full of grace. He loves it when we spend time with him. But Jesus knows that Peter cannot stay in the state that he's in. In a sense, Peter has fallen and he hasn't yet got up again. He hasn't dealt with what's happened. He's still in that crumpled mess on the floor. And so we see in this passage, Jesus gently restoring Peter, helping him to get up. And first, he does this by helping Peter sort his heart out, by asking him where his heart is really at, by helping Peter sort out what's not right within him. It's how Jesus restores us. He helps us to get up when we've fallen by helping us to deal with the stuff within us that is not right with him, that is not good with God. And because Jesus died and he rose again, Jesus is able to forgive us and to free us. I remember to use it. Jesus is able to forgive us and to free us. So with Peter, he goes right to the heart of the matter, which is the state of God, of Peter's heart before God. And he asks him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? This is how Jesus restores Peter for mission, by helping Peter to tend to his heart. Jesus may well ask you and I the same question today. Do you love me? Do you really love me? Will you love me? Will you trust me and obey me? Follow me faithfully? Will you love me above everything else? It's only when we address the stuff in our lives, the sin, the things, the attitudes that prevent us from truly loving Jesus. It's only when we address that, that we can grow in our relationship with Jesus, that we can get up and move on with Jesus and mature in him. Jesus says, when we love him, we will obey him. We'll have fellowship with him, we'll walk in his light. But if we claim to have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, then we're lying and we're not living out the truth. And the truth for now is that we've still got this tainting with sin. We're still tainted with sin. It still creeps in to our hearts so that our hearts are not fully right with God. We might long to be able to say, yes, Lord, I completely, totally love you with all my heart. But the truth, if we look at our lives lived, looks very different. Now you'll recognize some of the words I've been using are from John's letter at the end of the New Testament, 1 John. And in 1 John 1:9, we read, if we confess our sins, he, that's God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's good news because Jesus died on the cross because he took upon himself your sin and my sin, all that is not right with the world. Because he did that, we can find forgiveness and freedom. He will forgive you your sin if you come to him. It's as simple as that. It doesn't need to get any more complicated than that. The slate will be wiped clean. You'll be pronounced not guilty. It's good news. And because Jesus not only died but rose from the dead, we can find new life in him. It's like that TV program, I've mentioned it before, I think, The Repair Shop, where items are brought in that, to be honest, look pretty sorry and pretty sad, don't they? Pretty useless looking, often a bit rusty, a bit filthy, and certainly not looking fit for purpose, and left at the repair shop. And then this team of experts restore, lovingly restore the items until they are brought back as treasure to the person who brought the item in. And the item itself has found a new lease of life, brought back to life. It's just like that with us and Jesus. He renews us. Even when we're looking a bit filthy and a bit rusty and a bit not fit for purpose, if we come to him, he will forgive us and free us and renew us, restoring us. Cleanse me, Lord, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's what the psalmist writes in Psalm 51. So if you've fallen, if you know that you've messed up, maybe you feel that you've really let Jesus down, then please hear these words today. That right in the place where you fall, Jesus meets you. Right in that place. I love the fact that Jesus invited his disciples to this barbecue gathered around a fire. It would have been a coal fire, the chances are. And as Peter would have smelt the coal fire, it would have taken him back to another fire, a coal fire. The coal fire that he was stood round on the night when he denied Jesus three times. Jesus meets you right in the place where you fall. The Lord upholds all who fall, lifts up all who are bowed down. Psalm 145. It's what he does when we come to him. And look at what happens to Peter as Jesus restores Peter's heart, forgiving him and freeing him. And as Peter confesses his love for Jesus, Jesus gives him something to do. As he forgives and frees him, and as he forgives and frees us, he then helps us to find our place, to find the role that he has for us to play within his body, within his church, within his people. And for Peter, that looks like caring for the flock, doesn't it? Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. And in a sense, that's true for all of us. Because when Jesus comes to us, he doesn't come to us as somebody who's single without any attachments. He comes to us with his bride, and his bride is the church. His church, his bride, who he adores, who he gives himself to completely. And so when we love Jesus and walk in relationship with Jesus, we find we're loving the church as well. And we find we walk in relationship with the church, with each other. Have a little look around. This is the church. This is who we are called to love and walk with. Peter is called by Jesus to take care of his sheep. And in one sense, this call applies to us all. But there are specific things we're also called to, aren't there? As we find our place in God's family, as we find ourselves more becoming the person God desires us to be as he restores us. And last year, towards the end of last year, we ran the SHAPE course. Some of us were involved in that. Just a chance to look at what's God placed in you. What are the gifts and the skills and the personality? What's unique about you that God will use as part of his people? I wonder if for some of us we need to revisit some of that material. Maybe we never really finished it. Maybe that might be you, I don't know. And we offered to meet with you at the end of that course. If you wanted just to chat through anything, Amanda would love to meet with you, I would, and Gary would. Or meet with your home group leader or a trusted friend just to talk and pray through. What's God placed in me that I may find my role and my place in the church? It may be for you that in the past, serving in church has been that place of pain. In a sense, has been the place where you've felt like you've fallen from who God was calling you to be. And that might be a difficult thing. And if that's you, I believe Jesus wants to say, because he died, because he rose again, he can help you to get up and to keep walking with him. If that's you, if you've got pain from serving in church, please pray with somebody after the service. Because I believe the Lord wants to restore in you a love for serving him and serving the church. Jesus forgives us and frees us by restoring our hearts. He helps us to find our place, the place where we can serve. And then Jesus says to Peter, working now, follow me, faithfully follow me. Because Jesus died and rose from the dead, when we fall, he is able to help us to get up and to continue walking. And one of the things about falling is that it can hurt, can't it? Might need some time to heal. And it's really important to take time to heal when we've fallen. But there will come a time when we need to get up again and walk. And here, Jesus is really saying to Peter, I want you to walk, but I want you to walk in this path. I want you to walk in the path that I've walked. And it's a path where you give of yourself. It's a path of sacrifice and self-giving, self-denial. It's a path of preferring other people's needs over your own, of denying yourself. And it's a path that leads towards the cross. In verse 18, when Jesus says, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. It's widely understood that Jesus was saying to Peter, your life is going to end on a cross. Your life is going to end on a cross. It's amazing that Peter threw himself into 30 years of ministry after that, with that hanging over him. Now, I often ask myself when I write a sermon, where's the good news in this? Where's the good news in this? And I got to this point and I thought, this doesn't sound like good news, does it? This call. Jesus forgives us and frees us. I'll have that. Yes, please. Thank you very much, Jesus. Jesus helps us to find our place and our role within the church. Yes, please. I'm up for that. Learning who I am, more fully being the person God's made me to be. Jesus calls me to follow him to the cross. Can I have a think about that? We're back to the heart of the matter again, aren't we? Which is the matter of the heart, the state of our hearts before Jesus. Jesus says, if we love him, we'll obey him. If we love him, we'll follow him. What does he ask of us? He says earlier on in John's Gospel, in John 12, anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Anyone who sees their own life as not the most important thing, but secondary in this world, will keep it for eternity. So Jesus asks us again, he asks you and he asks me, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? To follow Jesus is to walk in his path. And it's a path of sacrifice, of giving of ourselves. It's a path of great inconvenience, but it's the path that God calls us to walk because it's the place where he is glorified. It's the place where we find life in its fullest sense. It's the path that we were made to walk down. And it's the way that God's love will be seen in our lives as we learn to love each other and love others with that Christ-like love. That is not a love that's like the rest of the world, but is truly a love that puts the other first. It's not an easy option, is it? And so we pray, Lord, help us. Help us to walk this path faithfully. To hear your call to follow you, help us to do that faithfully, Lord. And because Jesus died and rose again and ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to help us to walk that path. So I pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit and help me, help us to faithfully follow Jesus and walk that path. Help me to bring glory and pleasure to God in the way that I live my life. Help me to point to you, living God, in all that I do. Help me by your Spirit to do that. It does sound like a contradiction, doesn't it? To die to ourselves is the way to life. But that's what Jesus says. To die to ourselves and to live for him is the most alive state of living we can ever experience. When we fall, Jesus picks us up and he says, now follow me. Follow me. The Gospels are full of stories of people who have fallen. People who have fallen short, who've let Jesus down. People who've been left behind. People who've been damaged and hurt by others. Been given up on. There's loads of stories in the Gospels, aren't there? And we see again and again that when people meet Jesus, they find forgiveness and they find freedom, restoration. They find purpose and meaning, a new lease of life. And they receive the strength, the enabling power by the Spirit to walk this path, the path that leads to the cross, following Jesus. So I want to ask you this morning, what about you? How's that walk going for you? Are you walking forgiven and free, fulfilling the purposes God has for you? By his grace, faithfully following in his footsteps. I believe there are people this morning doing that, and I praise God for that. And I say, more of you, Lord, more of you in our midst. But if that is you, please remember the message today, that because Jesus died and rose from the dead, when we fall, he's able to help us to get up and to continue walking. Because if you keep walking, chances are you're going to fall at some point. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you've fallen. You feel it. Maybe you've made a bad decision, poor judgment. You looked at the way ahead and you thought that would be a good way to go, but you fell. It was poor judgment. Maybe you were pushed. Maybe others have hurt you. Maybe it was just an accident. Just don't know what happened. Hard to explain, but you're on the floor, you're on the ground, and you're in pain. Maybe that's you this morning. The good news this morning is that Jesus meets you in that place of pain, on the ground. That's where he meets you. In the place where you fall, in the place where you fell, And he meets you to forgive you, to breathe new life into you, to help you to become the person he designed you to be, to find your place. And then he calls you to faithfully follow him. How does he meet us in that place? He meets us in the quiet, in that secret place at home when you just seek him, maybe first thing in the morning, last thing at night. He meets you there. Time spent with Jesus is always time well spent. He also meets you here as we gather together. I think Jesus loves to minister to us through each other, doesn't he? And he's keen to do that this morning. That's why we always say when we gather, if God's been speaking to you, please pray with somebody before you leave. He loves to minister to us through each other. And I just want to say as well, if you have this sense that you've fallen and your falling has disqualified you from knowing God's love, from knowing Jesus' grace, maybe from serving him, then just remember that picture of Peter sharing breakfast with Jesus and the others on the beach. You know, they shared breakfast together before any restoration took place. I just see a picture there of Jesus simply loving Peter. Simply loving Peter. And for some people this morning, you need to hear these words that Jesus simply loves you. He simply loves you, even though you feel unworthy. You know that you're unworthy. He simply loves you as you are. But he loves you so much. He doesn't leave you as you are. He longs to restore you. He longs to restore you. And when Peter is restored from mission, the mission that Jesus had for him, maybe Peter was more qualified than ever to talk about forgiveness and restoration because of what he'd experienced. Look at what happens in Acts. Look at what happens when he starts preaching. If you're sat here this morning and you know that you've fallen and you haven't yet got up and got going, please hear these words, the headline today. Because Jesus died and rose from the dead, when we fall, he is able to help us to get up and to continue walking. Should we just pray for a moment? Feel free just to close your eyes if that's helpful. Lord Jesus, we come as we are to you. We can come no other way. But we hear your call to look to you, to turn to you. We hear your offer of life, of renewal, of restoration, of healing. Help us to trust in you. Help us to trust in your power and your strength, that we may be lifted up, that we may find healing and walk with you. Come, fill us with your Spirit and heal us, we pray, that we may fully be the people that you've made us to be and serve you with all our hearts. And then be able to truly say, we love you with all our hearts. Amen.